Take your Bibles tonight and turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9 had a couple of weeks off from the study of the book of John. Last time we covered verses 21 through 59 of John chapter 8, where Christ was continuing to talk that he is the light of the world. And just review of the outline. In verses 21 through 30, there was the people in the crowd, especially the religious leaders. They had a refusal to understand Christ. And because of that, they were still condemned in their sins. They needed to understand that Christ was soon to go to the cross. They were going to crucify him. It wasn't the Romans. It was the Jews that put the Romans up to it. Because he came into his own, and his own received him not. So we have Christ's condemnation. And then he starts talking about the things that he's going to do, his upcoming, that he is sent from the Father, his upcoming crucifixion. He uses the term Son of Man. Son of Man is a title for the Messiah. He is committed to follow through all the way to the end. And then also for his call to basically fulfill God's plan. So we see here the people have a refusal to understand Christ. And that's the same as it does, as happens today. In verses 31 through 38, we see the requirements to follow Christ's words. It says, if you follow Christ's words, you'll be his disciples, what? Indeed. And then the issue is how to be spiritually free. To be spiritually free, you need to understand and know the truth, which means you need to read the Bible. We need to memorize it. You need to hide it in your heart. You need to let it be a light into your path. And then we need to realize our position in Christ. We are no longer a servant of sin in verses 33 to 34. And the issue is that it's not a physical bondage. It's a spiritual freedom. It's not physical freedom, it's spiritual freedom. And you are forever free. For he that is free is what? Free indeed. And basically, their spiritual blindness is no surprise to Christ. You know, he's God. He saw them all through the Old Testament. He saw their, you know, their backsliding when they were in as a country. He knows. It's no surprise to them. And it should be no surprise to them themselves. Because they say they're Abraham's seed. But they're not doing what Abraham said. Or what Abraham did. In verses 39 through 50, Christ gives them the reasons for why they are. Why they are the way they are. Because you're not of Abraham because of your actions. They were trying to kill Christ. You're not part of God's family. Your father is the devil. You don't want to hear God. Your father is Satan because your actions give your heritage away. By your fruit, by their fruits ye shall know them. Whatsoever ye sow, you also reap. Okay? You will not believe the truth because you are Satan's children, and then you are convinced that you're right and Christ is wrong. And we see that today, don't we?
Yes.
We see that today. And then lastly, in verses 51 through 59, the rejection of Christ's words. Christ's words are life. And when you reject Christ, you reject the promise of Christ, which is eternal life. You realize the problems where you make light, not light of it, you bring it to light, your own problems of unbelief. Basically, you will make it believe a lie. You will not see beyond the physical. You know of God, but you do not know God. And there's a lot of people that just pay lip service. That they, with their lips, they honor me, but their heart is what? Far from me. And then you don't know Scripture itself. And then they were trying to kill Christ, but he came out of his way. He went out of their way. And they didn't do it because his time was not yet come. We have about 6 months to the crucifixion. So tonight we're just going to look at the first 13 verses of chapter 9. Chapter 9 is divided up in basically three sections. And this is the first section. And it's going to be about the blind man sees. In a physical sense. And also eventually as we go through this chapter in a spiritual sense also. but the blind man sees. Christ can fill not one, what is missing in your life. Christ can fill what is missing in your life. So there's 4 points tonight. The first one is in verse 1. There's a problem that led to this healing. It says here in verse 1, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." Now, if you look at verse 59 and look at verse 1, you see a common phrase. And he said, "And so passed by." And then if you look at verse 1, it says, "And as Jesus passed by." That kind of gives the impression that these are connected. But we really don't know for sure. I think it would have been appropriate, as Christ is leaving the temple, that he does something to show himself as God again. But whatever the case may be, the word for pass by here means to be going away. To be going away. "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth." We see 3 things in this verse. First of all, we see Jesus' presence. God won't act unless you're in the presence of God. We talked about this Sunday. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11, it says, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." You don't find Christ going away. You find Christ coming to him. Christ is passing by. Don't let him pass by. "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Do not hear my humble cry." Okay? "While on others you are calling, do not pass me by." We need to understand that our relationship is an individual relationship with Christ. So we see as Jesus, what? Passed by. He's near. He's near. The second thing is his perception. He saw. Amen. Okay? And it's his perception. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 9, the first part of this, King Asa is being talked to by God. And the prophet comes to Asa and says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." You know, we have a whole bunch of requests tonight. The issue is, Jesus sees them. God sees them. But do you see him the way he sees them? Nothing passes him by. Nothing goes unnoticed. And so Jesus is leaving, and as he's leaving, he sees someone who has a need. Do you have a need tonight? Jesus is passing by. Jesus is here tonight, and he's willing to meet your need. And then we see his prospect. It is a man which was what? Blind from his birth. Now, so this is the problem that led to the healing. You have to have someone that's sick in order to be healed. Here's the problem. This guy had an issue from what? Birth. We have an issue from birth. It's called sin. It's called sin. In verses 2 through 5, we see the purpose of the man being born blind. Now, man looks at things one way. God looks at things a totally different way. In verse 2, do we see a mistake in judgment by man? Obviously, the disciples thought so. Because we always say, well, he got his. Because we always think that something bad or something we think is bad is due to a problem that that person has. And we're really quick to judge. We're really quick to judge. So in verse 2 it says this, "And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. Obviously, somebody messed up in order for this tragedy to happen to this man. Now, it's kind of funny. How could this guy sin before he was even born? So sometimes when we start talking and we start kind of thinking things, we come up with some wacky ideas. And we don't listen to God. Now, his parents, there is generational sin. And folks, we do need to understand this. If we do something wrong, it will have a negative impact on our family. Guarantee it. We talked about that Sunday. So, but this disciple said, obviously this guy is being punished for something that someone did. And that's the way we go through life, isn't it? That's the way the world looks at it. You mess up or something's happened to you, you got yours. You got yours. So, the disciples say, hey, did someone make a mistake and mess up with God? And that's why this is happening. Well, verse 3, Christ sets them straight. Christ sets them straight. This is actually a manifestation of Christ. In verse 3, it says, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know, we mess up. We're not perfect. But what God does is perfect. You know, I was thinking as thinking about this blind man. There's a person that was blind from 6 weeks of birth. Her name was Fanny J. Crosby. And it was nothing that she did that caused her to be blind. Some people think that a doctor put a mustard poultice on her eyes and irreparably damaged her eyes, and that's what it is. But see, the point is that what happens in your life could be used for the glory of God. And we know if you open up your hymn book, you see her name there. The evangelist, D.L. Moody, and all those things. Said it was because of her songs that people were brought to Christ. And so, you know, if we have a physical malady, it doesn't mean that Christ hates us. It doesn't mean it necessarily messed up. It's an opportunity for Christ to show himself strong. And in this case, it's exactly what it's for, because Christ says it. He says, but that the works of God should be what? Made manifest in him. He's incomplete. Think about that. He's incomplete. He doesn't have sight. Folks, we're all incomplete without Christ. And so we need salvation in Christ so that the works of God can be manifest through us. But the word of God is rare in our lives. The work of God will be rare in our lives. The worship of God will be rare in our lives. The way of God will be rarely found in our lives. So we see here, the disciples said, nah, this is because they messed up. No. Christ says, no. This is for an object lesson that you're about to get. Oh, by the way, it's on Sabbath day. Okay? Just kind of put everything in perspective. This is on a Sabbath day. So, in verse 4, we see the mission of Christ is fulfilled. He says, I, what? Must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. The night in this case is when the sky turns dark over the cross. And there's no more mighty miracles that Christ does after he's resurrected, except he resurrects himself. He gives that to the disciples. Now, Christ had to do everything that Scripture said they had to do. In Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is in prison. And he comes up to question. He sends his disciples to Jesus and says, are you the God? Are you the guy? Are we need to look for someone else? And Christ quotes Scripture back to John's disciples. Christ has to do this to fulfill Scripture. In Isaiah 42, verses 6 through 8, it says, and I've just been reading this as I go through my Bible reading for this year. I'm just here right now. It says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, talking about Christ, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a what? Covenant of the people. It's the New Testament of his blood, and for a light of the Gentiles. I am the what? Light of the world. Verse 7. To what? Open the blind eyes. To bring out the prisoners from the prison. And them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, when Christ is young and he's sitting, or when he starts his ministry, and he's sitting there, he reads Isaiah, he says, this day, this scripture is beginning to be fulfilled in your eyes. So Christ is continuing to what? Must work the works of him while it's his time. Because the crucifixion is coming. Verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. So the issue is, what was the purpose? What was the, it was the manifestation of Christ. That the glory of God will be seen again in this dude, in this God. And we see the mission of Christ fulfilled. We see in verse 5 the message of Christ confirmed. Now, we just came out of chapter 8, which was at the Feast of Tabernacles. We talked about this whole issue of having these big stanchions with light, these great big torches of light out there that they had to fill up at night. And then on the eighth day, Christ comes, as those lights go out, he says, I'm the light of the world. In verse, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, folks, here's the point. Christ is physically not in the world today. We are. What are we supposed to be? Light. Let your what? Light shine before men. You walk in light and not in darkness. So it says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We are now the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? Light of life. That's the theme. John starts out in chapter 1 with this truth. In him was life. And the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. So we see here the purpose of the man being born blind is so man can say, man can make a judgment, if you're wrong, Christ will be manifested and be glorified, God be glorified. The mission of Christ is fulfilled scripturally, and the message of Christ is confirmed. It just continues. That's why I think, this is my thought, is that this is happening as he's leaving the temple. Just to show one more thing. You sit there, you've been denying. Here, watch this. It was on the Sabbath day, but we don't know. In verses 6 and 7, we see the power that healed him. The power that healed him. Now, it's the power to recreate what was lacking in this man's life. Now think of this. Nicodemus, chapter 3. We know you're a great teacher. Christ says you must be what? Born again. You must be recreated. You must be recreated. It says here, verse 6, it says, and when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. Everybody go, oh, that's yuck. Anything God does is holy. Okay? And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. You know why? Because that man came from dirt. God used her to recreate his eyes. Because we see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man out of what? Dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What Christ is doing here is he is showing that he has the power to recreate what is lacking in your life. And this guy, it was this guy's eyes. For us, it's to give us, to quicken our dead spirit and to revive us again and make us a new creature in Christ. If any man be what? Christ, he's what? New creature. He's recreated. He's recreated. So, we see here, he has the power to recreate what is lacking in the man's life. It's a power that requires a response. We talked about that the work of God doesn't happen in your life unless you mix the word with faith. So, Christ gives this man a command. And he says, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation what? Sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, folks, this man has been blind from birth. And if we take the skeptic attitude, here's a guy comes by, he sees me. He doesn't call out to Christ, but Christ sees him. Christ stops. He makes mud, puts it on his eyes, and says, go to this pool. Something's going to happen to you. Would you do it? If that was you, would you do it? Remember Naaman? Remember Naaman? He comes and Elijah says, go and wash and dip yourself 7 times in Jordan. And Naaman says, no! We got better rivers up in Syria than this. Why should I muddy myself up with the Jordan? And his captain said, you know, what's so hard about just doing what God tells us to do? Here's the point. What's so hard about doing what God tells us to do? Not hard at all. We just need to do it. If this is the temple, and this is the pool of Siloam, it's more than the Sabbath day. He's got to go on the power of God's word instead of the power of ritual in order to do this. So what happened here? He goes, he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Folks, if you don't go God's way, you're not going to see. You're not going to see. Because you're not going to be in the right place. You're not looking for the right things. Okay? If you don't let the blood of Christ and the water of washing of his word happen, you're not going to be clean. You're not going to be recreated the way God wants you to be recreated. So there's a tremendous message in this. There really is. So it's a power to recreate that which is lacking. It's a power that requires a response. And then thirdly, it's a power that always brings results. 4 times in Psalm 107, we see this verse. In verse 6 is the first time it happens. It says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of what? Their distresses. Later on, it says, all their distresses. God can cure every problem you have. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The reason God doesn't fix things in our life is because we don't let him fix it. We think that sometimes things are so foolish that we won't do it God's way. But we need to be a child. You need to follow as a child. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He can save to the uttermost. He can heal to the uttermost. He can recreate to the uttermost. His power is to the uttermost. His grace is to the uttermost. His mercy is to the uttermost. His life is to the uttermost. Because he's God. So we see the power that healed him. Now, verses 8 through 13, and we'll close with this point. We see the perplexity of the people. They're perplexed at this. Now, where we live, you go down the street and over any underpass, you'll find these guys begging. And they have, help me, and some have crutches and everything else. And I've seen those people on crutches during the day, but then they're walking at night. And they're basically putting, some of them put on a show so they can get your money and beg. This guy's blind. The only thing he can do is beg. And so the people have a disbelief here. They said, really? This has happened now? Verses 8 and 9 says, the neighbors, therefore, the people who knew him best, and they which before had seen him, so the ones who knew him said that he was blind, said, wait a second. Is not this he that sat and begged? Now, when would they see him? Coming back from the pool. Why is he coming back? Probably to find Jesus, okay? But he's coming back from the pool, okay? He's going to a place that he just left. Some said, this is he. But what did others say? He's like him. But the guy said, I am him. Folks, no one can take away from you what God has done in your life. Amen. People can sit out there and say, that didn't happen to you, but you know, this guy has got his sight back. He got sight, not back. He got sight, because he never had in the first place. And if people say, nah, that really didn't happen that way. It's all a myth. It's all just magic and fable. And no, it's not. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. We see here their disbelief in this. And then in verses 10 through 12, we see their demand. Okay? So, if that's you, how did this happen to you? You tell us why you were blind and now you're not. What happened to you? Folks, there was a change in that man's life that others could see. And they would say, what happened to you? There should be a change in our lives that others should see that we're saved so the power of Christ will be manifest through us. Amen. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And you know it's a simple answer? I just did what Jesus said. Verse 11. He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. That's a testimony, folks. This is the way I was. I met Jesus. He told me to do this. I did it. And now I'm fixed. Things are different. It's not the same. I don't want to go back to being blind anymore. I want to just go do what God tells me. Then said they unto him, where is he? Where is he? He said, I know not. Here's an interesting thing. He didn't know what Jesus looked like. Didn't know what Jesus looked like. Jesus would be standing in the crowd. He is. He's going to be found in the temple later on. In there. So we see their disbelief. We see their demand. You know, I don't know what Jesus was like, but I tell you what, I know he exists. I know he changed my life. I don't need to see him physically. Don't need to see him in a loaf of bread. Don't need to see him in a tree. Okay? And so the neighbors and the people who knew him can't deal with this. This becomes now a religious argument. So here we have the religious argument. How do we deal with religious arguments? We take them to the religious people, and their disposition on this is basically they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And we're stopping here. Because all the next section has to be done in a continuum. But it happened on Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. Why wouldn't it? This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And we need to be rejoicing and be glad. Let Christ make you complete. We are all born with an empty hole that Christ can only fill. We're all born with spiritual blindness that God needs to open our eyes. We're all born with spiritual deafness that God needs to open our ears. Let the work of God manifest itself through us. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. Lord, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that this will be the night that they realize that you died on the cross for sins, you were buried, you rose again the third day, and now you have the power to forgive sins and the power to give eternal life, and then just cry out to you for forgiveness of sins and ask you for eternal life. Lord, someone here or on the internet, Lord, I pray that they would pray that prayer today and come know you as Savior. Lord, for us, take away our blindness. Fix what's missing in our life and recreate us into what you want us to be. And we give you this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name.